These young people work hard every Wednesday evening here early, and it helps our worship. Hallelujah. I'm not saying you don't, but we're blessed to have what we have in the singing and the worship, and we just need to see it as an opportunity to worship God and praise the Lord. We only have this last few days before Sunday to invite folks to our Easter service and to pray that God will get a hold of somebody's heart, save somebody in our Easter service. Amen. Once again, Ephesians chapter 6, we got tonight and perhaps one more evening in this series about the armor. I'm just thankful God has provided an armor. Amen. I'm convinced more than ever it's going to be a battle till we get there, but it's a winnable battle, and it's winnable because God has given us the wherewith to fight it. He's given us the wherewith to fight it. Amen. You can remain seated tonight since it's a lengthy reading, but let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, I pray that the same Spirit that inspired the Apostle Paul to write these words, that Holy Spirit would move upon me to speak them and for hearts to receive them. Lord, may this Wednesday night be a difference in someone's life. Lord, if someone here feels distance from you, Lord, help them to realize that tonight they can feel your presence again. If someone's discouraged, encourage them, Lord. Someone's under the burden, oh God, help them to feel the lifting of the Holy Spirit. Now shut us up in this place to your truth. Lord, may we hear from heaven by the Holy Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. The armor. I'll be reading if you'll follow along. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Currently, I'm reading a biography of Jeb Stuart, the Calvary general of the Confederates during the Civil War, just a true genius. And at the time, he had command over 2,000 men. And a German, as was him then, a German from Europe officer came, and he wanted to join Stuart's staff. And so he got the okay from the government, went out on the battlefield, and weren't fighting the battle. They were just setting up for it. And he asked where Jeb Stuart was. And one of Jeb Stuart's aides says, "You'll have to go to the front line to find him. If you want to find Jeb Stuart, we'll have to ride out there because he's always right there on the front line." And when I read that, I thought that would be good for all of us to have a determination that it would be known of us that we're always on the front line of the thing. Amen. I believe we could be on the front line in every service. Instead of sitting back and letting others do it, we can be on the front line in the battle. Amen. We can do it because we have the armor. Tonight we're going to look at this verse of Scripture. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. That's that thing right there. You know, we got our trusty blue arrow to help orientate us. So there's the sword of the Spirit. This is a Roman two-edged sword. I didn't have a Roman sword tonight. This is Micah's Spanish sword, and it's not two-edged, but it'll help us out tonight when we get to it. Amen. I am convinced that only the Word of God, wielded as a sword, can keep Satan's attack on our thoughts, Satan's attack on our feelings, Satan's attack on our beliefs, Satan's attack on our convictions from being effective and destroying us. Let me say that another way. If we don't use this sword right here, Satan will be effective in his attack against us. But because of this right here, Satan need not be effective in his attack against us. Amen. This is Billy Graham, you might notice, but one of the things Billy Graham was known for in his preaching, and I believe it's one of the things that made his preaching powerful, got a hold of folks, moved people, and moved them to an altar. If you have ever listened to Graham, Sandra and I, we were at one of his crusades about 25 years ago, and if you've ever been or listened to one of his crusades, you'll notice that all through his sermon he says, "The Bible says." Since about 1949, they said that's when that got a hold of his heart, and he preached, he would say, "The Bible says." I like that. The Bible says. Not Freud says, or Kierkegaard says, or Immanuel Kant says, or the college university professor says, or the pres, but the Bible says. And that got a hold of folks. But I was thinking today, amen, that's not only powerful on people, just tell people the Bible says, that's powerful on Satan. I mean, it's powerful for a preacher, it's powerful moving on people to say the Bible says against us. It's a powerful thing to be able to say to Satan, "The Bible says." But the Bible says. However, the Bible says. I'm glad we got the Bible tonight. How many believes it's a living thing? It's quick. That means it's alive. Hallelujah. I believe it works on Satan. It works on ever errant, depressive thought. It works on ever evil suggestion and ever evil temptation. Just simply to say, "The Bible says." You'll find that works. Hear me tonight. I want this to be practical. You'll find that works when Satan is attacking your mind and your heart. Just tell him, "The Bible says." That's our sword. I'm convinced that we do not actively use the Word of God nearly enough in our encounters with Satan. And that is why we are often left depressed and weakened and giving in to temptation and led into error. It's because we don't use the sword of the Spirit enough on Satan. Amen. Satan comes, he begins to speak to us and talk to us and tempt us. We need to use the Bible. Amen. We're going to talk about what is the sword of the Spirit. That's what Paul said we need to take, the sword of the Spirit. Now, when it says the sword of the Spirit, he's not saying the sword which is the Spirit. That's not what he's saying. But the sword that is provided by, the sword that is given by the Spirit. It's given several ways. How many knows that all Scripture is God-breathed? That's what Scripture says. It's God-breathed, and the word breath and the word Spirit is the same. Every word in our Bible comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible says holy men were moved upon by the Holy Ghost, or moved upon by the Spirit when they wrote those things. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the Spirit moved them to write those things. But beyond that, the Spirit gives us this sword because it's the Spirit that opens up the Word to us. It's the Spirit that makes the Word real. It's the Spirit that suggests the Word to our mind and impresses our heart with the Scripture. I'm glad for the Holy Spirit. He was involved in the writing of it, but the Holy Spirit is involved in making it real to our hearts. And that's how He gives us the sword of the Spirit. Now, Paul just comes right out and tells us what the sword of the Spirit is. He says, it's the Word of God. Amen. Amen. One of you young men, help me. Who's going to help me tonight? I want you to imagine with me a little bit. Come on, Jodiah. You need a haircut. This will help you out. I'm just joking. You're going to fight me, but I got the sword, all right? And all you got is your arm, so when I come at you, I want you to catch this on your arm, all right? Ready? Come on, catch it. You're not really going to do that. Can you imagine? Here's the enemy coming at, and he's going to catch this thing on his arm? What would you want if you were going to sword fight with me? What would you want? Another one. Thank you. He was going to go along with that, wasn't he? Now, I know that's... I'm through. I know it's a little silly illustration, but when you go out and try to fight Satan, and here Satan's got his weaponry, and you go out and try to face him with your own resources and ability, that's like you trying to, someone's got a sword and they're going to come at you, and you're just going to use yourself, your own arm. I mean, how silly is that? I'm telling us, we're no match for the attack of Satan. When he comes against us, here's what we need to have. Not our own ability. We need to have the Word of God. That's the way that we are victorious. Amen. And so Paul tells us that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Your own thoughts and reasoning and opinions are defenseless against the attack of Satan's. You know, a lot of times I talk to people, Christians, quote unquote, and a subject will come up and they'll say, well, I think, stay with me tonight, I want to help us tonight. How powerful do you think an I think is to Satan? Satan comes against you and you tell Satan, well, I think. You know, sometimes we get involved in these discussions about spiritual things, and someone will say, well, in my opinion, I mean, how powerful is that when you're facing Satan? Satan's coming against you and you say, I'll tell you one thing, Satan, in my opinion. And Satan's coming against you and you say, well, my belief, that's powerless against Satan. But I'm telling you, when Satan comes against you, instead of saying, I think, say, Satan, God says. Isn't that more powerful? God says, the sword of the Spirit. What a preacher said, what you read in a book, a philosophy you learned, and lessons from the Bible is powerless before Satan. It's powerless before Satan. Amen. That's why it's so important that we get the truth about things. If it's not the truth, you're defenseless. Now, I know Paul used the sword as a reference to the Word of God because he was looking at a Roman soldier, and that's what the Roman soldier had. I don't know if Paul was writing today. He might say, he might talk about taking the 9mm or taking the .44. Amen. I don't know what imagery he would use today. Amen. But you, in your own self, you have no defense and ability. But I'm telling you, if you got the Word of God, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, amen, but if the Word of God was compared to a sword in that day, I could well say, amen, if you got the Word of God, you got the 9mm, you got the .44 right here. Amen. When Satan comes against you, amen, we do have the power to overcome. That's why James can say, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Because we got the sword of the Spirit. Now let's answer the question. What do we do with it? You can tell by the way I'm handling this, I really know how to handle a sword. Amen. What do you do with the sword? What's to be done with it? And I think we know, but we're going to look into God's Word here. Amen. The sword is the offensive article of our armor. All these other things, helmet, loins girt about with truth, the breastplate, the sandals, the shield, those are all defensive parts of our armor. But this is an offensive article. But actually, the sword is both defensive and offensive. You use the sword to catch blows as well as to give them. Right? And so, let's not forget that. I've been talking up to this point how we use the sword defensively to catch the blows of Satan. But this isn't just to be used defensively to catch the blows of Satan, his attack. We're to use this offensively just to run him out of the territory. Get rid of him. How many believes we can get rid of Satan? I mean, he may try to sneak back up, but we have a power, a weaponry to overcome him. The other parts of this armor keep the enemy from getting to you. But the sword, you can give it to him. Amen. You can let him have it with the sword. It's that kind of power. And so, I've got ahead of myself somewhere here, but I'm talking about this sword to ward off the attacks. To parry is the word, to deflect. And you also dispatch the enemy. You get rid of him. You thrust him through. Amen. You put him on the run. And again, I don't know so much about singing songs to the devil or about the devil, but some of them are pretty powerful. We used to sing years ago, "We've got the devil on the run." Well, that's a pretty good thing to have happening. He can't stay when I pray, seeing what the Lord has done. There's healing for the body, saving for the soul, and joy for those that have none. Without a doubt, we got a right to shout. We got the devil on the run. I'm telling you, we can put him on the run with the word of God. He don't like this. Amen. But you see, you've got to use the sword of the Spirit. Amen. The Bible isn't like a good luck charm. You know, some folks, they get a horseshoe and nail on top of their door and they got good luck in their house. But that's all they do with it. They just nail it there. And the Bible's not just like a good luck charm. It keeps the devil away. I mean, you can have a this and say, well, the devil's going to stay away from my house because I got a Bible. No, it's not a good luck charm just to sit around. It's something you use, you wield like a sword. It must be used. Amen. Your sword has to meet the incoming blow of the enemy's sword with a blow of its own at the point of the path of the enemy's sword. Amen. You got to make sure that you're coming right where he's coming at you at. Make sure it applies. Make sure it applies. Use the word of God. Apply it to your situation. I remember they tell it as a fact in Bible school. This young man in the boys' dorm, he was praying about this young lady, and he was going to just leave school early and forget about Bible school and just go marry her. And so he's in the lobby, knelt down, and he's praying. As he prays, he's reading his Bible. He said, "Oh God, show me." So he just opened up the Bible, shut his eyes, put his finger on a verse, and got up shouting, "Hallelujah, I'm going to obey God's word." And the verse that he read, it says in John 13:27, that after the sop, there at the Last Supper, Satan entered into him, Judas. Then said Jesus unto Judas, "That thou doest, do quickly." And so all thing he did, "Shall I marry her or not?" And he just put his finger in the Bible, and it said, "That thou doest, do quickly." And he got up, left Bible school, married her. So the story said. Now, does that verse apply to whether or not you should marry? No. It's got to be that which applies. Amen. If you'll remember, we talked about this last time, but when Satan faced Jesus in the desert, and Satan was trying to tempt him, and said, "Won't you turn these rocks to stone?" Jesus answered him with the word, but it was a word that applied to the attack. Satan said, "Turn these rocks to stone." Now, how effective would it have been when Satan said to Jesus and tempted him, "Turn these rocks into stone." And Jesus looked at Satan and said, "And Abraham beget Isaac, and Isaac beget Jacob." How powerful would that be? You know, we make the word of God just this magical charm that works like magic. But the power of the word is in the truth of the word. And when Satan comes against us, and we're going to end this way tonight in just a few minutes. When Satan comes against us, we need to get the word that parries his attack. That applies. You might be surprised which portions will come into you. How many believes that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? I read years ago about a young man called to preach, and he got to really seeking the Lord, and all of a sudden he was just going to be super spiritual, and he had an extensive library. He said, I'm going to get rid of my library and not ever read anything again but the Bible. Just get rid of all my books in my library. And he was about to do it, but he read the verse where Paul told his co-worker, he said, the cloak that I've left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. And what Paul was saying is bring the Bible, but bring my other books too. And the man read that, and he preserved his library. A verse of scripture, just an instruction from Paul to one of his co-workers, but it was a powerful thing because it applied. I am convinced that this book has in it things that apply to our every situation. But I want to remind you, the theme of our church is all the gospel for all of life. It's here. It's in there. Amen. Praise the Lord. The word is to be used as a sword against enemies, not on the lost and those who need help. Now, I'll talk about maybe in a moment how the word is powerful when we witness. But you know, this word isn't to be used to beat people up with. I've seen folks do that. I mean, they're not even saved. In fact, we had a door monitor once. Every time a guy said something or do something, he'd quote a scripture at him. And just the way he did it, I mean, they were ready to beat him up over it. It's a sword to use against Satan, not to beat people up with. Right? Praise the Lord. And I'm glad that there is something. I remember years ago I was at Bethel Chapel holding a revival, and I was enduring a great attack of Satan, and I was in the prayer room before church, and I was praying. And this is something he was bombarding my mind with. But I'll never forget, as I lay there, I opened up my Bible, and I don't even remember the verse of scripture. Seems like it was in Ephesians. And I put my finger on it, and I said, Satan, this is what the Bible says. He'd come at me, and I'd say, Satan, this is what the Bible says. He'd come at me, I'd say, Satan, this is what the Bible says on this matter. And after about 30 minutes of that, the Spirit of the Lord moved mightily on my soul, and Satan had to flee. Listen, you're going to have the attack of Satan, and if you don't hear anything else, and I know it's repetitious, but here, you cannot face Satan on your own, young people. You got to have the Word of God. Amen? There's a lot of nice sounding stuff out there, but if it's not the Word, it's ineffective against Satan. Amen? How do we obtain it? A sword will do you no good unless it's in your hand. Now, if you were going to attack me, if my sword is over here, it's not going to help me at all. I've got to have it in my hand. There has to be a word of God at your and my command. In other words, it has to be there. Now, you see, if Satan is attacking you, you can't say, time out, Satan, time out. I've got to run and get my concordance. Let's see, I know what's in here. You got some vague suggestion, you know, some dim memory of a verse of scripture. And so you run, get your concordance. Hold on, Satan, I got to go get my concordance. It has to be there. Or be there. Amen. It's got to be ready, amen, to use against him. However powerful the word may be, it does nothing unless we use it. We employ it. We must use it. And I know I'm being a little bit redundant here, but use it isn't just saying, oh, here comes the devil. I got my Bible. He's going to give through my Bible. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I think you ought to show respect to the Bible. I've got this little thing. I never put another book on top of the Bible. If I got several books, the Bible goes on top. You think that's silly? I believe. I'm not making fun of showing reverence to the Bible. But you can't just say, oh, here comes the devil. I got the Bible. He can't get through the Bible. It's in using it like Jesus did. Turn the stones into bread. Satan, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone. And Satan's attack is thwarted. Well, say hallelujah. Amen. Here's what Paul says. How do you obtain it? He says, take the sword of the Spirit. You know, I really don't think God will bring a scripture to your mind that you've never taken the trouble to read or listen to or memorize. You know, sometimes I wish it worked that way. But the scriptures that are in my head, you know how they got there? I took time to read them and memorize them. I don't think I ever had God. Now, it can happen. God is God, and His ways are beyond. But I don't think when I'm facing Satan that God puts scriptures in my head that I never read. Amen? I was in Bible school, and my parents gave me this, Thompson Chain. And this is... Praise the Lord. I'm back in. My dad wrote in here, he said, with all our love, keep your sword sharp. That's what he told me. Keep your sword sharp. Now listen, let's think about that. When my dad was telling me to keep my sword sharp, he wasn't saying I can make the word something more than it already is. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the word. When he was telling me to keep my sword sharp, he was referring to my staying in the word. My memorizing the word. My reading it, meditating it. And I've thought about that many times in the ministry that my dad wrote that in this Bible. Keep your sword sharp. It's incidental. We got a little time. I'm about done. But when I got called to preach at 17, I'll never forget my dad, not long after that, a few days after that, he came to my bedroom. I was in there doing something, doing homework. He said, called to preach, huh? I said, yes. He said, well, if you are, you'll take this and memorize these scriptures. And he had this long list of scriptures about faith and soul winning and sin. And he said, if you're really called to preach, you'll remember. Did you know to this day, when I preach, those scriptures come to my mind. When Satan attacks me, you got to take. And to keep your sword sharp is to take the word of God. I mean, there is such an intake of carnal media. Listen, these are good Christian young people. You're good Christian folks. But we all know we're so inundated with the influence of carnal media. It's everywhere. When we take it in, but if we're not careful, all we've taken in is the worldly influence. And then when Satan attacks us, we're defenseless. We must take the word of God. I know I said a lot to say a little, but listen, let me just put it this way. Have you read your Bible today? Have you taken the Word of God? How do you take the Word of God? All have a Bible, but do you really have it? Have a hold of it. Read it. Read it. How many's glad you have a Bible to read? Praise the name of the Lord. Read it. Oh, what a power the Word of God has. I'm thinking about all these illustrations, but maybe I don't have time to share. Memorize it. I heard a preacher one time. He said, my mind just don't work. I just can't memorize scripture. And before the conversation was over, he had told me about every gun and about every bullet of every gun and how far the path of the bullet was and the velocity of the bullet and the curve of the arc of the bullet and all the parts of every gun. And I said, and you can't memorize scripture? Man, a lot of folks, I mean, they got the menu memorized at every restaurant and then they say, I can't memorize scripture. How many believes it's powerful to memorize the word of God? That's taking the word of God. Listen to it. Oh, I wish I had a preacher's voice. But let me tell you something. When the preacher's preaching, God has something to say from His Word. Listen to the Word. Get a CD. Amen. Listen to it. Amen. Listen to the Word of God. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Listen to it. Meditate on it. I don't have time to go into this, but one of the things I really suggest, and that is to learn to pray the Scripture. Get on your knees with it. Open it up. And read the scripture as if it's the prayer from your heart. Now, there's some parts that's more conducive to that, the Psalms and different parts of the prophet. But if you learn to meditate on the Word of God, you don't have to lift your hand, but how many knows that I know how our minds work? I mean, you can read the Bible on cruise control. How many's read three chapters and you stop yourself and say, I don't recall a thing I read? Has anyone ever been there? You know, especially if you read it through several times, you're so familiar that it's like singing the songs. You're so familiar with it, you can sing the songs and not know what you're singing. And so with the Bible. And so one of the things I suggest is take a portion of scripture, no matter how familiar, and read it over and over and over about 5, 10, 15 times and see what happens. I'm talking about taking hold of the Word of God. How many believe we need to meditate on Scripture? Study it. Study's not the same thing as just reading it. Amen. Have a dictionary there, a Bible dictionary. Rightly divide the Word of truth. You know, sometimes, and I don't so much anymore, too much energy, but I used to love to get in discussions about different issues. I mean, you bring up any issue and, you know, I just liable to take the opposite side just because I wanted to argue. None of you are like that, right? But I've heard people, and it tends to be more when you're younger, so I'm not picking on you, but more when you're younger. We can have a serious issue, spiritual issue, and young people just say, well, here's what I think, here's what I think, here's what I think, here's what I think, and here we go. But never have really taken the Word of God and studied that issue out for themselves. If we're talking about our convictions and our beliefs and our theology and our don't just say, well, this is what I believe, unless you studied it out for yourself. See, you need to take it. It's one thing, you know, the devil's going to attack Nathan at school tomorrow, and I may have the sword, but that's not going to do Nathan any good. Nathan's going to have to take the sword. Right? How would you like to see how this feels? Just stand up. Don't brandish it. How would you like to go to school with that? Someone try to pick on you, it'd make a difference, wouldn't it? They'd think twice, wouldn't they? I think Stan thinks twice when he knows we've taken the Word of God. We've been reading. We've been memorizing. We've been meditating. We've been studying. Oh, so much more to say, but I'm going to go on. A sword will do you no good unless it's sharp. Now, I told you a while ago, the Word of God never changes, but our perception of it does. How do we keep our sword sharp? We keep it fresh. We revisit it. We pray over it. We're regularly in it. You know, here's an argument, a conceal and carry argument, is that criminals will leave you alone if they have reason to believe you're carrying a gun. Now, the whole purpose of conceal and carry is that it be concealed when you're carrying it. I saw today a picture, a T-shirt. The guy standing there and says, I have a conceal and carry permit and I'm carrying my gun. But the argument is that criminals will leave you alone if they have reason to believe you're carrying a gun. Might it be that Satan would leave us more alone if he knew we were really carrying the sword? If we'd really been in the Word, he might say there's not much use to attacking them today because they've been in that Word. They've taken the sword. They say, are you packing? I don't want to know. Are you packing the sword of the Spirit? It's actually packing. But are you packing the Bible? What if Satan knows that? What if Satan knows you're packing? It's going to make a difference in the battle. Believe me, Satan doesn't want to face that sword. He knows what it does. You are not going to make it through this. It's what Satan will tell you. We're going to close with this. Here's Satan's attack. Satan will say to you, you're not going to make through this. This is going to beat you. You might as well give up. There he's thrusting with the sword. What do? You lift the sword of the Spirit. You parry with the sword. And you say, Satan, God has promised that there hath no temptation taken me, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer me to be tempted above that I am able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that I may be able to bear. Here Satan's attacked you, and you parry. He said you weren't going to make it. And you didn't agree with him. You didn't say, oh, I guess I won't. If you say I won't make it, I won't make it. No, you come at him with the Word of God. Another attack of Satan. God's not forgiven you. You're lost. You're not good enough. You pair tag with the sword of the word. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. God knows the day I confess my sins. God knows I was sorry. You parry with the sword. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Satan attacks. He said, you know what, young people, you can relax. You try too hard on that church thing. There's no need to be fanatical. Other people that claim to be Christians do all the things of the world. You parry with the sword. Then said one unto them, Lord, are there few that be? And he said unto them, strive to enter. Don't relax. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And oh, we could go on and on. The devil comes and says, you know what? This is going to defeat you. What you say? You raise that sword. Satan, you just said, I'm going to be defeated. But the Bible says we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Well, don't you know you're standing alone? Don't you know you're going through this by yourself? Yes, that's what you're saying, Satan. But if God be for us, who can stand against us? Hallelujah. We need to use this word, this sword of the Spirit. Parry the attacks of the enemy. Would you come, music? You say, what does this have to do with the sword of the Spirit? Well, look at that fella's bill. Can you see that? This is a gray heron. It's got some natural enemies. Hawks and eagles. They like heron meat. But the thing about the gray heron, when he's attacked from above by an eagle or hawk that he's learned to do, he simply lifts the sharp beak and he plants his feet, embraces his body, and that eagle that's diving to kill him and eat him dives, and as it dives at him, the beak of the gray heron impales the eagle and kills it. And I'll tell you what this made me think of. What did Paul say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but stand and take the sword of the Spirit. And Satan has come to destroy us, but he'll impale himself as he attacks on the Word of God. And he will be defeated. And we will be victorious. Oh, I want to see folks victorious. I'm tired of seeing folks be beat up. Would you just try it? The rest of the week, when Satan comes at you, lift the Word of God and respond to Him. You say, I don't feel it. It's not, the power of the Word of God isn't in your feeling it. The power of the Word of God is that it's the Word of God. You know, in words, a while ago, I said, the devil says, well, you're all alone. I may not feel that scripture of God before us, who can stand against it. I may not feel that. But it's still the Word of God. Amen. You feel so weak and intimidated by Satan? There's a scripture. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You say, I don't feel him in me right now. I don't feel that scripture. It doesn't matter if I feel it or not. It's still the Word of God. And when Satan says, I'm going to be tempted, I'm going to use it anyway. Hallelujah. I don't feel anything. In fact, I feel discouragement. I feel depressed. I feel like I am going to be defeated. But Satan says, you're going to be defeated. But I'm going to raise the sword of the Spirit and say, listen here, devil. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The power is not my feeling. The power is, it's the Word. Would you try it the rest of the week? Just try it. When Satan comes against you, respond with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Would you stand across the building? Thank you, Father, for your Word. Please challenge us, Lord. Help us to get the devil on the run in our lives. Help us to depend upon the power of the Word of God, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Help us to believe it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you want to take and use the Word of God, would you fill these altars tonight? And if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, come when the church comes and someone will pray with you. Your life can be changed on this Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Would you come? Amen. Take the Word of God. Take the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even as you're coming to the altar, there's some of you that's facing the attack of Satan. And quote the word to him. Take the word of God and use it against him.